I think what Jay's health has given to women is a sense of relief. I think that's been the biggest thing, is that, oh my gosh, yay, I can not be dependent on the number on the scale. I can give up fad dieting, give up my calorie counting app. I can just stop counting and just tune into my body and really understand that I'm biochemically unique and individual, and what works for me may not work for you. And this is my body and my rules.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast, a lifestyle podcast hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek.
Tune in for a new episode every Tuesday to hear our honest conversations about topics like wellness, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and self-development with guests who are really smart, really inspirational,
and really fucking funny. It's real, it's raw, and it's unfiltered.
Inspired by our transition from our 20s to our 30s, we realized it's so much more than that. Our mission is to provide you with the tools, guidance, and motivation to help you navigate any transitions in your life and propel your personal growth.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 podcast.
Here we go.
Hello.
Would it be weird?
Hello.
I just sat here, like a little mute. Hi, guys.
Welcome back to the podcast.
We're so
I need to get in my tone.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Should I talk about the...
Yeah, let's talk about it. The good... Hey, you guys. You want to see the good, the bad, and the ugly? We'll tell you.
Someone told me that they... I whisper?
No, just say it, what it is. We got a review.
We got a review.
And they said, I'm uncomfortable.
One of the hosts whispers and it's very distracting. And then we were like, which one of it is us?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's me, because I have a little bit of a lower tone. So maybe it's a little bit more like this. But then I was like, but I don't whisper.
Yeah, that's, I literally haven't whispered since I was born. So I kind of need, if the secret Facebook group, can you guys let us know like who it is?
Well, this is why I love our community. I love like honesty, and now I'm just like, oh wait, when does that happen? And I can totally fix that.
I just want to fix it. That's the thing, is I want more clarity because I want to fix it.
Totally.
I want to understand what you're seeing that I'm not seeing.
I'm open, ready, and willing to change.
Same. I'll do whatever you guys tell me to do.
You're the boss.
I'll change.
You guys are the boss, truly.
Yeah, honestly.
You're the boss.
We are robots.
How is everyone feeling?
Hope you're enjoying this fall season. Fall is life.
Every year.
It's the best.
I don't know what it is. It's like my birthday season, so I'm always partial, but I also just, there is something that changes atmospherically.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean the seasons. Mm-hmm. And I can't really describe
it. There's a calm. I feel more calm.
Yes.
I think that what's going on with our business is changing. So, but I feel like I just feel more calm that I don't know how to describe. There's less of a rush. There's less of a hurry. You know, I just love when it's sweatshirts. Like, I love being in a sweater.
Yeah, cozy. I completely agree.
It's the best. Truly. So, Lindsay and I just got back from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I'm always a worrywart.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with a dad who is probably the biggest worrywart in the U.S. of A.
My parents should have worried more than they did, probably.
Yeah. We probably had like very opposite experiences, and it would have been nice to kind of meet in the middle.
Literally.
So I do have kind of that programming. So in terms of travel, I'm kind of the one between Krista and I. She's really good at helping me when we travel to just kind of open my eyes and heart. And this was like a perfect example of that, because I was nervous. You know, it sucks that the news, the media, yes, they're covering things that are happening in Mexico, and it's really scary. And I feel for the people in Mexico that are suffering because of that. But then also, as someone who doesn't live there and wants to visit there, I'm like, I'm nervous to go there, you know, and for reasons only that the media is projecting. And I was so blown away by the people. It was safe, one. Two, so beautiful. The people, their priorities are...
darlings.
On point.
They're all darlings. Mm-hmm. Just...
so happy.
So happy all the time. And I love the way Lucy... so we stayed with Lucy, who runs a retreat company called Inspired Retreats. And the way that she described it was so beautiful. You know, she always says that the people of Mexico are so quick to laugh, that they always kind of have a laughter or a joking sense with one another. And that they're just so relaxed. You know, they get things done when they need to be done. You know, there'll be like five of them piled in the back of a truck on their way to work or working through the day. And they all are having fun. They're all laughing and they're all just like enjoying their life and kind of, like you said, have their priorities aligned so that they work when they need to work and they enjoy life when they need to enjoy life. It's so beautiful and it's so nice to, and that's the thing with travel though. Like, and I say it, you know, once I'll say it a zillion times, it's like you, but you have to go there to figure that out. You know what I mean? Like
completely.
So often people say, and I've never really, I've been scared very few times traveling, but you always have to go to, you know, you have to go beyond what we're seeing on TV. And I'm not even saying this to you, but like anyone to actually figure out what's going on and to actually see the way other cultures interact and to learn so much from them. I mean, I learned, you know, when we were in, so we were in Mexico for the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, Dia de los Muertos, Muertos, which I'm not very, you know, whatever, whatever on me. But it was just so beautiful to see how they handle death, how they handle like just enjoying the holiday too. Like, so yeah,
it becomes a celebration and they call in the family members and friends who have passed by creating these altars and they put their favorite food on it. They create these like beautiful pieces of art out of sawdust.
So amazing.
Sawdust and other like
corn.
Like, yeah, it was really, really cool. And actually, we were specifically walking around on the day that they were honoring the children that have passed. And, you know,
that was hard.
You know what surprised me too? It was so hard. And like, I was blown away by the openness of the parents and the family honoring them that, like, I don't know. I just, maybe being in the US, people are kind of buttoned up with their emotions. And we spoke to this lovely gentleman who had lost his son. And his son was 10 years old when he passed. And just like his vulnerability, he was just like, I miss him every day. Like it's really hard when I hang out with my friends and their kids are there. Like he just was, I don't know.
So sweet.
So sweet. And
it's also interesting too, because for him, his experience having a child, you know, his son, it was, his name's Benny, the driver, and then his son, Daniel, passed when he was 10. He was very, very sick for his whole life. And so, you know, your experience as a parent and as a child, when you're very, very sick, your whole life is so different, you know? So there's just so much there too. And it's almost, there's just, it's the mixed continuation of feelings of feeling you miss them. You feel guilty. You feel, there is sometimes a sense of relief, you know, because you have spent your entire life. He quit his job. His wife quit his job.
Yes.
Spending their time and building this life. You know what I mean? There's just, and then you, it's just, and then it's pain. You know, there's just so much that goes on. So that was really beautiful. But I really just love, I just loved how they talk about death, how they're open about it. And, you know, the acceptance of it and the remembrance of the people. You know, and I don't know if we do that as much. I don't know if we remember people as much, or once they're dead, it feels like they're dead in our culture, or it's...
I mean, I grew up Catholic, so it's weird.
I know, I don't...
You kind of like, they pass, you have a funeral or a ceremony,
and
you
it's
know,
all
some
black
sort of celebration
and it's all
of
really
life,
sad.
And then you're done.
Yeah. And then you kind of like shut it down. But just all the colors. I mean, you guys... I have never seen so many colors in my life. There was string banners and lights and all the murals that they had, all the food they had set up, the churches. Like, they had the most beautiful decor that I've ever seen. And it was just, it was one of the coolest things I've done. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
And last thing, just the food as well. There's something about when food is made with love.
Yeah.
That like makes such a difference in how I take it in. Like, and I didn't even realize that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, and I guess that happens with like a home cooked meal if you go home to your family, but I don't have that.
It's also the environment.
As often. Yeah, it was just, everything was delicious and, you know, literally picked from the garden or not too far from being in the ground or on the trees, whatever it was. And it just they really enjoy the process of making food for their families. Family is number one.
Yeah.
Just loved it.
Numero uno. Yeah, it was amazing. So just like an update too, we are looking for retreat spaces. Mm-hmm. So we had the best time in Mexico. So we're looking at doing our retreat there in Sayulitas, hopefully bringing you guys along. But it's just like a long process. You know, Lindsay and I are crazy about quality of, you know, the experience of our girls that come on the retreat, you know, from the second you land, you know, even before you get on the plane, to every email, to every experience, to the food, to the location, to the activities. We just want it to be incredible and give you the chance to change your life or connect more with yourself or others. So we're just like really working hard to figure out the best situation for a retreat.
Yeah. I think we'll find the perfect spot and we want to make it accessible too for East Coast, West Coast, middle of the, you know what I mean? Wherever you are, we just, so we're
the right,
very
affordable, you know,
very mindful of that. So if you have any insight, any connections, you know, just let us know. You guys always help us out. So thank you in advance. All right. Today on the podcast, Jessica Seppel.
Love.
Our babe.
Babe. So we were at, Lindsay and I were at Good Fest last year. Shout out to Good Fest. We love them and we adore their festivals and retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a panel, a food panel. And dude, I was like,
who is this mega babe?
Shoot, she's a mega babe.
Well, it's not only just because she's beautiful. She's like, dude. There's a presence.
Presence. And every time, so she would get asked a question and she'd be on stage and she was on a couch. And every time she would turn, she would listen, take the question, and then turn to the audience and answer and address the audience in like a very confident swivel. I was like, oh, what is this boss ass move? She was wearing this like black duster, her hair in a pony. I was just like, fuck.
We then proceeded to go out and get all of the things she was wearing.
Actually.
We're like, let's look like Jess Seppel.
Literally. Yeah, literally. She is, and she's smart as hell. She's a doll.
So smart. Jess is a clinical nutritionist, best-selling health author, and founder of JS Health, which is major. You know, she went through her life fad dieting, just really having a fucked up concept of like how to nourish her body and really her relationship with her body. So we really dive into that, how she transformed her lifestyle and how she is helping others to do the same. And she's just so passionate about it, which obviously we love. And she's very real. Mm-hmm. She's from Australia. Like, I don't know. I'm like,
sort of Sydney. Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah, love her. She's beautiful. She's cool. And we just wanted to get a great conversation about health going. We love her perspective, her mentality around it. She has amazing recipes. And she's super balanced about everything. So this is a good one for y'all. We're excited to share it with you and to have a conversation about health right now at this period in time in the year.
All right. We love you. Thank you so much for listening as always. And if this episode or another episode resonates with you or you think it would resonate with someone else, gift them an episode. Mm-hmm. Like send it along. It's always nice. People send me stuff like books, recommendations, podcast recommendations. And I always like take it to heart, like that they thought of that. So we love when people do that. Tag us on Instagram, DM us. We love hearing from you.
And if you're interested in starting a podcast or you have a podcast and want to grow or monetize it or market it, go to yourpodcastpro.com. So yourpodcastpro.com. And you will find every single resource that Lindsay and I have ever used, learned, and gained in our 2+ years podcasting. So we're so happy to share it with you. And then we have a course launching in January. So can't wait to help you babes launch your podcast this January.
Love you. I've been talking to a lot of my friends recently and it's funny and also kind of like, I feel like I'm not alone, but a lot of people are waiting to have kids. Which...
Yeah, we were even asked about that on a podcast interview this weekend.
Yeah.
Like what our timeline for, I know for having children is, I mean, you guys know that me and Lindsay have talked about how we thought we would have kids at this point in our lives. And now we really want to wait. So understanding our fertility levels and like what makes sense and what's possible for us and what it looks like when we maybe want to have kids when we're 35 is really interesting and appealing to us.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So we're actually using Modern Fertility. Even though I don't have a partner yet, I think it's really empowering to kind of have that knowledge.
Oh, yes.
And your hormones act as like kind of little detectives into your fertility. So the doctors and physicians who study your test results can figure out the number of eggs you have, if you could hit menopause earlier or later than average, if egg freezing or IVF is right for you. It's really interesting and so easy. So modernfertility.com/almost30 is where you can go. And what you could do is order your test. You can either take it in the privacy of your own home or at a lab. So whatever you prefer. And then you have help every step of the way from Modern Fertility. There's a simple app that you can use, and they help you to use almost like a timeline, a simple timeline, so that you're aware of your options. And, you know, we're busier than ever, and our biology isn't changing now. So we just really have to be aware of that. So modernfertility.com/almost30, and you'll get $20 off a purchase. So you can order the test, take it in your home or at a lab. You submit it, and certified physicians will review the test results. And then with them, you can learn how to better plan your fertility if that's something that you want to do. Chosen Foods is a San Diego-based health food company. Shout out Southern California, best known for starting the avocado oil craze, which we subscribe to oh so well. They offer a variety of healthy fats and clean label products like avocado oil mayo and avocado oil-based salad dressings and sprays. Listen, this brings me into the kitchen every time. I am happy to cook because I have these products on hand. So I'm going to tell you what I'm loving right now because you guys always ask us, so I figured I'd tell you. My top three Chosen Foods products right now, the avocado oil mayo in black garlic. That's right. You heard me. Black garlic mayo. So I'll cook a sweet potato and I'll put a little bit of mayo on it. I will steam some artichokes and I will dip the little leaves in the mayo. Delicious. I also am loving the lemon garlic dressing. So it's a dressing and marinade. You could use it as either. It has zero sugar. It's canola and soy free and vegan. I mean, what else do I have to say? There's no preservatives at all. It's pure avocado oil and all natural ingredients. And it's tangy, it's flavorful, it's delicious. And last but not least, my favorite, which I use all the time when cooking, the Chosen Blend Oil Spray. It has safflower, avocado, and coconut oils. And you can cook with this at high heat. 490 degrees is the smoke point, which is great. I don't know if you know, but olive oil smoke points are much lower, I think around like 350. If you cook it over that, which a lot of us do, you are going to risk the oil will give off toxins. Uh-oh, not good. So I love these three. You can try Chosen Foods for 50% off, 50% off your order of $10 or more when you visit chosenfoods.com/almost30 and use the promo code almost30 during checkout. So for 50% off your first order of $10 or more, you can go to chosenfoods.com/almost30 and use the promo code almost30 during checkout. So worth it. Run to the site. Swear to God, do it, do it, do it. Let us know what you love.
So when we were at GoodFest, dude, the whole time, I was just looking at Lindsay. I was like,
God damn it.
Yo, she's got it going on.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You had it going on.
You exude confidence, which translates into just like this. Because I think at events like that, sometimes just depending on like the panel or whatever, like if you are really confident, but also like have this humbleness about you, you stand out. Because I think, I don't know, people put on airs.
That is seriously like such a compliment.
Professional. Oh. Like she would ask a question and like questions were. And like you just would like take it and you'd take the mic and you would kind of just take it over and you'd be like, well, and you would like face the crowd and you had like your all black look on mm-hmm. and your pony. And like, it was just like,
and that's what you remember. Was I wearing a yep. pony?
100%. Oh, yeah. Oh, your outfit is like my like, yeah.
No. Vibes. Okay. Well, that's funny because I'm like, everyone knows that I just don't shop for clothes. I have no idea. I'm like the only girl in the world who just has no fashion sense. I'm sorry.
That's not true.
So everybody always helping me.
We've only been recording but for really, 3 minutes and you're lying already. So.
No, I seriously don't. And I'm not interested in it. Like, yeah. I understand where it comes from. My mom, my grandmother's the same. Like, no one's ever been interested. It's funny. My sisters are very different. Yeah. They're very into their fashion. But I've tried. Like, I've really tried
just
to be
too
into
pretty,
it.
You don't need it.
No.
but
honestly, like, that is such a compliment because
chic black.
In that Good Fest, I was like, how am I going to get my message across? Because I think Hollywood and I think LA and mm-hmm. the inundation of so many fad diets and so much confusion around this healthy life and the obsession, I can feel the obsession here, which I had for so many years. I get it. I was there. And so I just wanted to give them this like refreshing approach. I wanted just in my heart mm-hmm. to see that there is another way and that the balance does exist. So I was just like kind of excited to show these young girls who I could see. Mm-hmm. I saw so much of myself in those young girls mm-hmm. and I was so excited to tell them about the JS Health way.
You crushed.
Yeah, what about?
Thank you. That's such a compliment.
I was crushing.
What did you feel and what did you see in them that like you mm-hmm. kind
of... Oh, just myself. Like the confusion, the overwhelm, the inundation of so many mixed health messages. How are we not meant to feel confused? And unfortunately, it's probably my industry's fault is that so much inundation of so many mixed messages has caused us to have a complicated relationship with food. And I can see the pain in those young girls' eyes and I can see the disordered eating and I can see just this desperate need for something kinder, something more gentle, something that works, but they don't have to put their body through another kind of torturous fad diet in order to achieve their health goals. And just, I can just see the confusion and the pain with what
yeah, and like
comes
looking at
with
you
this.
For answers.
Yeah. And I'm just, like, is there, oh my gosh, is there another way? Like yeah. I don't have to be another diet. Oh my gosh, I don't have to be attached to my scale. I don't know if you remember me talking about how I tell everyone to give up the scale for 3 months. That's a big part of my philosophy. And they were like, oh, what a relief. Like I think what JS Health has given to women is a sense of relief. Mm. I think that's been the biggest thing is that, oh my gosh, yeah, I can not be dependent on the number on the scale. I can give up fad dieting, give up my calorie counting app. I can just stop counting and just tune into my body and really understand that I'm biochemically unique and individual and what works for me may not work for you. And this is my body and my rules. Mm. And I think it just empowers women and gives them a sense of relief and blocking out the noise. Like there's so much noise.
So much.
And I'm hoping that JS Health gives people this opportunity to block out that noise and come back within. Because the saddest part about the diet culture right now is that it's caused us to be so disconnected from our own bodies because we're listening to everyone else. We're listening to our social media feeds. We're listening to what this nutritionist is telling us to do. This author is telling us to do. And they're so conflicting, you know, be vegan and then be keto. And it's like, they literally like opposite philosophies. And young girls, I mean, if these diets promise you to look a certain way and feel a certain way, it's tempting. I get it. So I understand what those girls are going through. Mm.
So what did you go through to like get you to this place?
Yeah. So I was actually so fortunate because I was brought up in a really healthy, balanced home, which all those years ago was rare. Like we had never had white bread in the house. Mm. My grandmother was meditating and eating papaya and taking me on hikes from when I was a young girl. And I had this really beautiful, balanced home. My mom was always cooking, grabbing ingredients from the fridge when I got home from school and whipping up a wholesome meal that was quick, easy, and delicious. So I was brought up in this world, like, which is very rare. Mm. When I was 13, we immigrated from South Africa to Australia, and it was a really challenging time for me as a young teenage girl. I went through puberty, my body was changing. And to cut a long story short, I discovered fad dieting. And this was like a way for me to control my weight. This was giving me a false sense of confidence and control that I felt like I'd lost. And so I just from that moment, from the age of 13 till about 23, so 10 years, I was just this chronic fad dieter. Every fad diet, I was obsessed with being thin. Being thin suddenly became my goal in life. The number on the scale, I always say, like really started to determine my self-worth, you know, and how the rest of my day would go. And when you're a dieter, you're restricting and depriving yourself with food, but then there's this vicious cycle of overeating, binging, and emotional eating. Restriction and deprivation always backfires with that sort of overeating or binge eating, and I was living off skinny foods, Diet Coke, cans of tuna, artificial sweeteners, diet yogurt. When you're extreme, like terrible.
The artificial sweeteners.
I lived off them. I was diet jelly. Diet jelly for breakfast.
Oh, I remember sugar-free jelly.
Yeah. For breakfast.
What the hell was in that?
For breakfast. I will never forget being in my car.
Nothing makes me hungrier than like artificial fucking sweetener, man. I am a true like rat in a lab. I'm like, give me a freaking.
I can't. Yeah. Like that's how I was. Yeah. And it, like, the thing is that the saddest part of all is that these diets just caused me to have an even worse relationship with myself and my body. I'd lost all confidence. And like, I just let food rule me in this really negative way. And like, to the point I would be so afraid to eat out socially with my family. Even I was so afraid of food. And I remember my mom one day pulling me out of a restaurant because I refused to order anything. There was nothing there was going to suit my perfect dietary, bad diet needs. And she pulled me. She goes, if you do not order something on this menu and eat it all right now, you will be punished. Like she was like at the point of what are you doing? Like, because she didn't understand. So yeah, just obsessed with my weight, obsessed with every single fad diet, and then developed so much fear around food. And as I said, this went on for so many years. And then just, I would say I was verging on an eating disorder. So disordered eating, there's so many levels of that, but more so orthorexia, you know, this obsession with the healthy life. And that's why Jay's Health was born, because I'm so passionate about telling women, especially, that the healthy life does not mean the perfect life. Obsession with the healthy life is not healthy. Like being so afraid of food is not healthy.
Yeah.
And so there is a balance, and you can still achieve your health goals with a kinder and more balanced approach. And that fad diets actually cause us to have quite a negative relationship with food, especially long-term. So this went on for years and years, but then after school, I went off to study a Bachelor of Health and Nutritional Medicine. But in my Bachelor of Health, I was still 100% disconnected from my body. I remember being in my lectures with my Diet Coke, can of tuna, diet jelly. So still not
little salty, little sweet.
I often wonder, like, I don't know if I know anyone in their like early 20s, late teens that are connected to their body. I almost wonder if it's like a part of like,
well, you have your to go through
genetic evolution where like all of a sudden it clicks. But
funny, because my friends around me, like they didn't really get me. Like they weren't struggling the way I was. Maybe they were struggling with other things, you know? Yeah.
I have a few friends that were connected.
Yeah.
You know, that would be like, I'm full. I'm like,
huh? Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would just be like,
who are those people?
No, I'm okay. I'm like,
yeah. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And I was definitely caught up in that toxic cycle of, because as I was saying, when you restrict and deprive with food, the binge eating and the overeating comes with that, because you, the minute you do get your hands on that food, you feel so much guilt around it and you're just like, I give up altogether. And then you overeat and binge and emotionally.
What was your binge?
But it was on like healthy food. You know, like I remember just one day eating, like I'd probably been on a crazy diet all week. And then I had one thing, which was maybe, I think it was like dates. I don't know, it was just dates. And then I just ate the whole pack, you know, like, and you just feel so, and then you feel the guilt that overtakes your body and your mind. You just don't even know what to do. And then actually it leads to even more of a negative relationship. Either you're going to continue to binge that night, or you're going to wake up and feel so terrible about yourself that you're probably going to make really negative food choices or really beat yourself up. And as you know, like, How we speak to ourselves matters. And the amount of beating up that I, because that's what diets do, because diets are not designed to follow. Like they are not sustainable. So it's not our fault that we can't follow a diet, right? When you fail at these diets, you just beat yourself up and it's not even your fault. And we feel like a failure. But I do often say that diets or your relationship with food often is a reflection of your relationship with yourself. And so obviously my relationship with myself was not very good for all those years. And that was just coming out in my relationship with food. You know, I'd obviously lost myself. I'd lost the confidence. I'd lost the sense of who I was and just feeling whole. I just didn't feel whole for so many years.
How did it affect your relationship with like friends, maybe boyfriends or...
I mean, I actually had really beautiful friends always. Wow. I was always part of a beautiful... Well, they didn't really get me and they didn't... They weren't struggling with that. And it was refreshing for me, I think, because I would see them having quite a healthy relationship with food. I was the only one sitting in the schoolyard with my salad and diet something, you know, they weren't.
It's interesting that you had a family that had healthy a healthy relationship.
I know, it's very interesting because we're not sure where it came from. The only thing I can say is I did have family members who commented on my weight a lot. So, and they weren't immediate family members.
Like saying?
Like just a lot of, oh, you, like commenting on image a lot and commenting on food. So if we went for a second helping, and I always say to moms, please don't comment too much on your child's eating. Like when we have a second helping, they're like, wow, you're a big eater.
Dude, shut up.
You know, or if you were wearing, you know, like there was commenting on, have you lost weight or have you put on weight?
Yeah. Feel that.
Like with puberty, I'm sure.
And that is like as a young, you guys know, like as a young teenage girl, when you're asked, like, have you put on weight? Or, wow, like, something. It just makes you feel so insecure in that moment. It can like bring down your whole world.
Totally.
So I did have
to suggest a parent to talk to their kids about it.
I mean, firstly, parents just have to be role models and the kids will, if you have a good relationship with yourself and not speaking to yourself badly all day long, it's likely that the kids, like if you have a mom who's constantly looking in the mirror and be like, I have big thighs. Oh my God, I wish I had a more toned stomach. They might probably copy that. So if you can just take the negative talk away from them, but also when it comes to diet, just gentle approach, encouraging them to eat well most of the time, but absolutely giving them permission to indulge, showing them that whole way of eating that is balanced, that is flexible, that is maintainable and moderate, you know, like that. My mom is actually such a good example of that. She just eats well most of the time, but then on the weekend she's absolutely going to have her wine, she's absolutely going to order the dessert. Sunday night comes, she's going to order whatever she, you know, like she, but then Monday and she wants to get back into the healthy life, but it's not a diet, it's just because she wants to, it makes her feel good. So just being a good role model and not making it a thing, you know, not making weight a thing. You want to feel good. Like we have to change our definition of what the healthy life is, because there's a very big difference between being weight conscious and health conscious. Like we, like for me, my definition these days of being healthy is waking up with energy to do what I love to do, having a clear mind. Yes, feeling comfortable and confident in my skin and in my clothes. But this fixation on skinny and this fixation of being at a certain number has got to change, because that is not the definition of how healthy you are, you know?
Yeah, I love what you said about getting rid of the scale for 3 months. I haven't honestly been on a scale in I don't know how long. And even when I go to the doctor, I'm like, hey, don't tell me.
Because I know it's fine. I just don't want to know, because literally it's the fixation number on the number.
And also we like expect to be at it. Like what people, and I was the same for many years. I also haven't weighed myself for years. But I'm just saying people expect to be at this perfect number that they were like when they were 16. Like that's not realistic. You know, like our bodies change.
Again.
Our bodies as women get ready to have children. Our hormones change. And I don't know why we are so fixated on specific numbers. It's just so crazy to me. Actually, now that I think about it, how was I so obsessed? But I also know why, because I also went to see a dietitian at a very young age, like 16, 17, 18. And she would weigh me to the gram. She's like, you've put on 200 grams.
Wow.
Like now that I'm a nutritionist, a qualified nutritionist.
Wow.
That will change with just hormonal fluid, you know, and just depending on where you are in the month.
Why did you go to a dietitian?
So because what happened was, as a fad dieter, I mean, this is because I cut the story short, but so when you're a fad dieter, you actually find it really hard to control your weight. So I was yo-yoing. So I was like really skinny, too thin, and then would go back to eating normal food and my body would put on weight. And so there was a stage when I was about 16 that I was like, putting on weight again. And so I went to see a dietitian, and I went to see a dietitian for years, and she would weigh me once or twice a week every morning. And there was this fixation on, you've put on 200 grams. And I felt like a failure every time. And that really just worsened my relationship with food even further, you know, because if you're told you've put on weight, you just go back home and either you restrict and deprive even more with food. You're like, I'm not eating anything, or the opposite. You overeat, binge, emotionally eat. I was stuck in this toxic cycle. And actually talking about it is so good for me, because I'm so free now. I'm so grateful. I seriously wake up every day, you know, how all of us have this gratitude practice. Mine is the sense of freedom that I feel with the healthy life. And that is just something that I want every woman to taste. Like being in the LA market, all I want when I'm sitting in front of people talking or on the TV, I just want people to experience this moment of freedom that the healthy life can come with. Because when we think of the healthy life, there's just so many rules normally. And it's this really scary world. And there's just, like, it's just hard, hard. It's really not attainable and not sustainable. So I want every woman to know that there is another way. there really is a much kinder, more simple way. How did you get to
that place? Like, were you at, was there a point where you're like, oh, I'm not, this isn't sustainable?
There was actually a moment. So in my fourth year, I went to study nutritional medicine.
Yeah.
And this is when things started to change for me because I was in lectures learning about nutrition, the power of food. I actually had panic attacks in my lectures because I was realizing how badly I was treating my body. Like, I had cut out all those major food groups, no good fats, no essential fatty acids, no fiber. Like, I was realizing my cortisol levels were through the roof and I was learning about your nervous system, and I had PCOS and my hormones were all over the place, and my mood was so low and my skin wasn't great and I wasn't sleeping well. And I started realizing how all these things matter and how what you eat has such an influence on all of these things. And slowly I started healing my relationship with food through through my last 2 years of studies. I mean, I did have an aha moment. I remember going home one day and saying to my mom, I give up dieting. I would rather be few kilos or more, I would rather be heavier or whatever. Like, because at that stage, I was still quite fixated on my weight. I just never want to be on a diet again. I think it's when I had come, I don't know what happened. I was just still weighing myself at that time. And I was starting to take over my life in a negative way. You know, I was starting to take the joy out of my life. And I just remember saying, I give it up. I'm just going to eat what I want to eat. I'm just going to tune into my body. I'm not going on another diet. And I was in my fourth year of study and I was learning about the power of foods and I was learning about the biochemistry of the body. And I would go home and make 1 to 2 small changes a week. So like, I would go from 6 hours of sleep to 8 hours of sleep. I would start to be more flexible with my foods. I would add all the macronutrients to my plate. You know, I was so afraid of carbs at that time, and I would add a little bit of sweet potato and some bread to my diet. And I was also in therapy at the time, by the way. I was in therapy for 10 years going through all of this. Because there was just so much pain, obviously. So I was working through that.
Oh, good.
And slowly I was just healing my relationship with food. And I started blogging about this transition from fad dieter to whole food eater. And I was also starting to discover again, because this is from my roots, you know, healthy food, delicious, healthy cooking was how I was brought up. And I was starting to rediscover that. So I actually started cooking healthy recipes and putting it into a blog. And people would start to say to me, like, how did you make that? So I was like, it's on my blog. So that's how the blog began. But the blog was on private for 5 months.
Wow.
And then my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, took a look at it and said, wow, this is so powerful. Because I was being incredibly, incredibly vulnerable. I was talking really openly about my pain and my struggles. Mm. And he was like, I think this will be really powerful. I think every woman would love to read this. And I put it live 5 months later. And that's how Jay's Health was born. But that's how Jay's Health remains. It's just this place to come to talk about what we're struggling with. You know, like, we all struggle and it's not perfect, and there's just a kinder, gentle way to live the healthy life, and that is really the essence of Jay's Health.
Guys, I don't know if you've been following along. We're laughing because we love furniture, but
it's crazy how priorities change.
Dude, you don't even know. All day I think about my apartment.
It brings me so much. Well, it brings so much joy.
So much joy.
To create a space I love.
So Justin and I, if you've been listening for a while, we lived in an apartment that I wasn't loving, and now we moved into an apartment that I love, and I have had the best time decorating it. And a lot of that is thanks to Article, who's our new sponsor. So I actually reached out to Article a while ago via my blog, The 100 Blog, and I started working with them through my blog. So I got the most beautiful sofa that actually pulls out into a bed for our guest room that's in the office. It's stunning. We sit on it every day. It's like this lush velvet and has the best mattress in it. But then when we started working with them through the podcast, we were able to get a dining room table that I'm obsessed with.
I love it.
It makes me feel like a very special person.
It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I've never had anything so beautiful in my house.
I just love the simple, modern, beautiful design, attention to detail. I'm kind of I like to get a deal on furniture, but I'm also a snob about the quality. So if I know it's going to fall apart, I'm like not excited about it. But I got a beautiful coffee table. It has a marble top. And then I got a great bookshelf for my room.
Yeah, that bookshelf is beautiful.
Trying to have my books stare at me more. And I got 4 new chairs for my table.
We need them.
But the great thing about Article is that they take out the middleman. So it's us, Article, and the manufacturer. So there's no showrooms, salespeople, no unnecessary layers that create more cost to the whole process. So we love them. It is
really great quality, beautiful, and I think you're going to love it. So you can go to article.com/almost30 and you'll get $50 off a purchase of $100 or more. So article.com/almost30, $50 off a purchase of $100 or more.
So you guys, I am having my family come to California for Thanksgiving.
Woohoo!
So that means mom, dad, who are divorced, we still do holidays together, Justin and my sister. And I'm the only vegan, vegetarian one in the family. But I am going to make an amazing meal, or have Veggie Grill help me make an amazing meal for the holidays that non-vegans, non-vegetarians will also love.
Yeah, they appeal to non-vegans for sure. The taste is so incredible. They season it so well. The options are endless. Anytime I go into Veggie Grill, like anything I want, salad,
I know, bowl,
anything, they have it. So for the holiday time, Veggie Grill has their holiday feast. So for $74.95, you can feed 4 adults. And the feast is amazing. It includes a stuffed holiday roast, cornbread stuffing, green bean casserole, mashed yams, the collie mashed potatoes, which are
bomb. Those are my favorite.
Porcini gravy and cranberry sauce, plus additional sides. So honestly, this feast is great for both vegans and non-vegans. We love it so much. And let us know, tag us if you go to Veggie Grill, whether during the holidays or not. We love them. It's been a lifesaver on the tour.
I can't wait. So what I'm going to do is just place my order online at veggiegrill.com/holidays, and then I'll pick it up at the location that's closest to me. And then it's all ready. All I've got to do is heat it up, and we are good to go for this holidays.
What do you think about the kind of the mind, body, mind, even just like digesting and taking in food? Like, yeah. I think about it often where, like, you know, if I'm going to have a piece of cake, right? Like, yeah. I just, like, what am I thinking about this moment? Mm. And instead of being like, oh, fuck, I'm going to do it. This is going to be bad. Or exactly. like, this is amazing. You know, like how that affects.
So I was changing. That was like the biggest change for me, because when I gave myself permission to eat foods, because as a dieter, you don't give yourself permission, right? So when I gave up, I made this commitment to give up fad dieting. I started giving myself permission to eat food. And suddenly my relationship with food totally relaxed. So I would start, and when you relax with food, you actually automatically become a mindful eater. And there's so much joy. So because I was sitting down to every meal feeling stressed, anxious, guilty, fearful for 10 years, right? And then I was actually just going to flip that and start to see how joyful food could be, because I'd watch my mom and how much joy food brought her, and she would never feel guilt around food. And I was like, I can have that too. Like, I can have that. And so slowly I would add all the foods back to my plate, and I would just enjoy slowly and connecting to how those foods made me feel. But it takes time, you know, this sort of stuff, like connecting to your appetite, connecting to your body does take time. So don't expect it to be an overnight situation. But I was slowly reconnecting to my body and being like, oh, I feel good after that. No, I don't feel so good. Actually, adding protein and fiber to my breakfast really makes me feel good and satisfied and full through lunch, whereas I was probably having a diet jelly and a diet yogurt, and that's just artificial sweeteners and there's no real protein in that. Oh, like, oh my gosh, my mood was really low when I was eating that way. Oh my gosh, my mood is really starting to improve now. So starting to connect, and I was also obviously studying nutritional medicine. So I was understanding the power and the benefits of certain foods, like how protein really does help boost your mood, and how keeping your blood sugars nice and stable really help keep your energy high and reduce sugar cravings. So I was learning all this beautiful, incredible information and starting to implement it into my everyday life, but at the same time dealing with my emotional relationship with food in therapy and with myself. So starting to mindfully eat, giving myself permission, the binge eating and emotional eating started to dissipate, because there was no more restriction and deprivation. There was no more weighing myself. I actually threw the scale out into a garbage bin. Like, it was so, I actually encourage all the listeners to actually go do that right now. If the scale is ruling you in any way, pick it up and put it. I had someone in the US when I was here in March send me a video of her doing it. It was the best thing I've ever seen. Like, pick up the scale. She's like, here it is. I'm putting it into the garbage bin. You will never feel so, and it's so scary at first. And you might, and for the first week or two, you might even actually have quite a hard time with controlling yourself with food, because suddenly you'll feel like, oh, I can just eat, you know, because it takes you kind of, your body isn't used to that freedom. But then after 2 or 3 weeks, your body starts to calm down your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know what I say about weighing yourself is that it actually adds cortisol to your body.
That's what I was going to ask.
Cortisol, from, I mean, I let that number on the scale define who I was every single day. Either would define who I was or like my eating habits for the rest of the day. If I didn't like the number that I saw, my mood for the rest of the day and my eating habits would be completely determined by or affected by that number. So what I'm saying is the freedom that comes with taking that scale and throwing it into the garbage bin, it can really heal your relationship with food and your body.
Mm. And then, so therapy, was it a specific therapist that helped with food?
No. So interesting. Or? So yeah. Where I live, like I tried, there was not really anyone who, there were psychologists who were helping people with eating disorders from like in the hospital and environment, but not really anyone focusing on your relationship with food that I knew of. So I was just in, I was seeing a psychotherapist. Because often when you uncover the pain that is within you, as I was saying earlier, like your relationship with yourself can just come out in your relationship with food. So I was trying to deal with my relationship with myself and any sort of pain. And a lot of the trauma from immigration was coming up and this need, you know, this, I mean, I am an A-type personality, so getting over the perfectionism, getting over the pressure that I was placing, getting over the pressure I was placing on myself. And also the thing about being in therapy and being with a therapist who supports you is they just support you. So they give you permission to, if you are putting pressure on yourself or trying to be perfect with something, they're the ones who are going to say, but why? Like, why are you putting that pressure on yourself? Mm. They're the ones who will question that for you and jolt you out of that need for perfection. So she was giving me permission to not be perfect and relieve the pressure I was placing myself to do it all perfectly with family, with friends, with exercise, with my, you know, with my diet. So she was saying, no, but you don't need to do it like that. Because sometimes you need, I was in therapy for 10 years.
With her?
I actually had two. Wow. In that time.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But I come from, my mom is a therapist. So I come from a family who's like, therapy is everything. Like everyone should, if you have access, everyone should be in therapy because we all have pain. And that's the other thing about Jay's health is I think I don't say that every day feels good. You know, some days don't feel good. Like I'm not, I think also the issue with this new healthy life and this new, I think it comes with like more pressure. Like every day should feel good. You should be drinking your green smoothies. You should be feeling high and you should be feeling energized. Like, I think that's also actually adding a negative pressure. I think even though I am incredibly healthy, I have a beautiful relationship with myself and my body at this time. I eat well. I do exercise. I meditate. I do all the right things. Mm-hmm. But some days don't feel good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some days don't feel good. So we all have pain within us. And I don't want this pressure of the healthy life then to make it out like every day should still feel good. Like we're human and...
What do you do on those days?
So I actually now I talk to myself and I actually accept. See, the moment we fight those days, I shouldn't be having a bad day. Why am I having a bad day? Mm-hmm. Why is no one around me having a bad day? By the way, everyone around you is having the bad day. You know, like giving yourself permission to. So the other day I had one. I mean, listen, I've just immigrated from Sydney to LA. It's tough. It's challenging. So I was like, of course you're going to have a bad day. Like, of course you're going to feel flat. Of course I had just no motivation to do my work. I was like, what am I doing? Am I making the right? I was just questioning everything in my life and I just had no motivation. I was like, just sitting with it. I was like, you are feeling this. This is bad. You're having a bad, I was just like accepting it. I was like, I said to my husband, I was like, I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad day. I don't feel like working. Just that's who I am today. And I'll have a conversation with myself about it. You know, I'll just, okay, Jess, like you understand why you might be feeling that. That's kind of normal. So what? You feel a bit bad. And you know what? Tomorrow is probably going to be good. And tomorrow is always better or the next day. So knowing that tomorrow will be better. But also just, as I was saying, just accepting that bad day rather than trying to fight it is like the key.
Mm.
And accepting the negative thoughts. Like sometimes you are going to have negative thoughts. And sometimes I'll like, challenge myself with flipping them to the positive. And then if I'm having a negative day, I do just sit with gratitude and feel grateful for the things that I am so grateful for. So sometimes you have to fake it until you make it. Like you do have to be grateful. And then it does kind of change your mindset. But then otherwise I just sit with it. I just sit with the pain.
Mm.
And tomorrow will be better.
Like what does your workout routine look like and how has your relationship with working out changed?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we get older, because I was reading something you wrote on your blog just about like exercising smarter. And I teach SoulCycle. So just like over exercising because it's my job.
and now cutting back and just feeling
good. I'm so glad. Because that's, I don't know if you heard me at Goodfest talk about that. Like, I actually have a very different approach when it comes to exercise. Obviously, as a fad dieter, I was also obsessed with exercise. So my approach to exercise now is incredibly kind and gentle. Actually, this morning was a good example. I woke up, I was like, I don't feel like exercising. So I just went for like a tiny little 20-minute walk, like stroll, no guilt, feel good, feel better than ever, energized.
Love that.
But it's very, very kind and gentle. So when I was obviously in private practice with my patients, I saw so much of myself in my patients because they were over-exercising. They were probably chronic fad dieters as well. And they actually weren't achieving their health goals. Like, they actually physically, like, I'm now talking more physically and emotionally, they just weren't feeling their best. And I was starting to cut back on my own exercise routine and really starting to be much more moderate and kind and gentle. And actually, because I was so obsessed with getting my cortisol levels down, and sometimes over-exercising can really increase your cortisol levels. And I was learning about this during my study. So I was changing myself, my approach to exercise. And I was going to do the same with, I started doing the same with my patients in private practice. And the results were incredible. So it was so funny because I used to have to negotiate with my patients, because when you're an over-exerciser, you're so obsessed and you're so afraid of not exercising. So I used to say, okay, fine, we're just going to do this for 1 week. We're going to cut back your boot camp, your spinning, your running, and we're going to just do some yoga and Pilates and networks. And guess what? We're going to have 1 to 2 rest days. They would freak out. I'm serious. They would like say, no, but like, I can't. And I say, just 1 week. Because these are the women, though, that were saying that they're not able to achieve their health goals. They wanted to lose weight, or they wanted to sleep better, or they wanted to have more energy. And 1 or 2 weeks would go by and they'd come into my office and their clothes were looser, they were sleeping better, and they had a better energy. And this doesn't work for everyone. If exercising intensely is working for you and your energy and your weight and your skin and everything, keep doing it. Everyone's different. But from what I was seeing, and for myself as well, is that it wasn't working over exercising. Like, I would be working out twice a day, you know, and as a fad dieter, hardly eating anything. And I actually wasn't achieving my best weight or weight balance. My weight was really hard to control and was just going up and down. And same for my patients.
What's happening physiologically when you're over exercising?
Yeah, so it's a lot to do with your nervous system and your hormones. So cortisol is a stress hormone. And actually, if you start researching cortisol has a direct relationship with a lot of things. Your thyroid gland. So too much cortisol can actually decrease the conversion of T4 to T3, which your T3 is your active thyroid hormone that actually keeps your metabolism firing. Cortisol can make it, high cortisol can give you disrupted sleep. And we all know when we have less sleep, we wake up tired and we wake up hungrier and we don't make as good health choices or food choices as we probably would when we've had enough sleep. Cortisol is a hormone that in excess makes you store fat, especially around your midsection. It just does. So sometimes over-exercising can be perceived as a form of stress by the body. So what happens when I was seeing my patients in private practice is I was trying to get their nervous system to rest, because we're in this sympathetic nervous system dominance, and I was trying to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and relax, right? And we're all in a state of sympathetic. Like, we're all just highly, highly stressed. And it can be from so many different things these days. Just social media is one. Social media adds so much stress to our bodies. Yeah. That's why I have a thing, which we can talk about later, but I delete my Instagram twice a day and only check it twice a day.
Oh.
It's completely lowered my cortisol levels and helped me sleep deeper than ever. I'll tell you about that. But yeah, so it's just, you know what, I encourage all those listeners just to experiment with 1 to 2 weeks of, if you are doing your boot camp, crazy soul cycle sessions, which are great and for the mind and the body. Like, if you love it, do it. But just cutting back and seeing what happens when you go from these intense workouts to more moderate workouts, especially it's more feminine as well. Like, we are female. And I think being in touch with that feminine energy, like for me, yoga and Pilates and nature walking makes me feel so in touch with my feminine side. Whereas I was like boxing and spinning and running and like sprinting and boot camps. Like, it just didn't feel like, I didn't enjoy it as well. But also my appetite would really increase when I was exercising like this. And I found I was like definitely overeating. So it's just something that has worked for so many of the women following the JS Health Life. And it still means, I'm a practitioner, so I care about exercise. I still want people to exercise. It's so brilliant for the mind, for your blood, for your cardiovascular system, but just moderate, you know, like, It doesn't have to be extreme. And I've helped really tens of thousands of people also achieve weight balance with this moderate approach to exercise. So if it is, if you are, you know, like I'm not focused on weight when it comes to Jay's Health or the Jay's Health program and app, or not focused on weight, but if you are hoping to achieve weight balance, sometimes a more moderate approach to exercise can actually yield results faster if it hasn't already worked for you. And it's got a lot to do with cortisol.
Yeah.
Or is it different for guys appetite. Then?
Can be, yes. Yeah. I mean, I think males are so different. Like males can handle more adrenaline. Mm-hmm. Males really can, they can handle more intense exercise. I think they're built for that.
I've been thinking that about hormones lately with Justin, my boyfriend. Like I'm kind of just like, what's going on hormonally with him? Because I think so much about my hormones. I wonder. Mm-hmm.
We are different. Yeah. We are definitely different to males. You know? And so I think we
I think they also need to be conscious about where they are hormonally.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And I just like think about that.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting
But thought. I do notice that too. If I work out too much, I get hungrier. I tend to overeat. Same.
And I don't sleep as well for some reason. When I'm like intensely exercising and when I don't sleep, I'm craving sugar the next day. Mm. I'm definitely when I don't sleep, I can actually feel my cortisol levels like starting to increase. But I actually do want to touch on social media for a second because I think social media really increases cortisol.
Yeah.
So what do? We wake up, we've had a beautiful restful sleep and we check our social media as we wake up. Do you understand the inundation of stress that is to your mind and body? You're comparing yourself to everyone on social media. You're like, oh my God, she's already had her green smoothie and Pilates. Oh my gosh, I haven't even gotten out of bed yet.
Yeah.
And you're getting so many messages from friends and you're trying to deal with your emails at the same time that are coming through another side of the phone. I just think we need to wake up to a beautiful, grounding, nourishing morning routine, just even if it's 20 minutes, and then attend to the busyness and chaos of social media and emails and all of the rest. We need to, it's causing us to be disconnected from our bodies as well. We're waking up and we're connected, but connected to everything else but ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we need to give ourselves a minute. So the night before I delete my Instagram app. I know it's extreme, but we have to have boundaries these days.
Yeah.
And it's not hard. You just re-download and put your password in. It takes literally 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I deleted the night before. So in the morning, I can't even go onto Instagram. And so I have a beautiful Jay's Health morning routine. I have my probiotic and my espresso and I do yoga and I go for a walk or maybe gym some days. Or I just simply rest. I put my legs up the wall, deep bed, whatever. Like 30-minute beautiful nourishing routine. Have a Jay's Health smoothie and then 45 minutes later, an hour later, when I'm ready to get into my day, that's when I can re-download my apps, check my social media, and get back into it. And then I do the same thing at night. So I have a strict rule, 7 p.m., everything shuts off. Mm. And everyone's different. So if you're someone who's starting a business and you have to be up till 9 or 10, that you can set your own rule. For me, it's 7 to 8 p.m. I delete Instagram. I switch everything on airplane mode. And that's it. And I have the whole
airplane mode now.
And my I cannot even tell you how much my sleep has improved.
Wow.
And my relationship with my body and my overall feeling. Cause when I don't, and sometimes there are periods where I break it when I'm writing a book and I'm just on deadlines and it's stressful. And I break it and I can feel the difference in my relationship with food. I can see I'm not making as good choices. I also feel chaotic in my mind. And therefore, I don't feel like I can manage life as well. I'm not coping as well. And I see what it is that I don't have boundaries. Mm. And it can just be with social media. Mm. Because social media is this whole world. It's not just like social media. It's like taking up so much of our time. And I think it's so positive. I love it. It's my work. And I love my community on social media. But I think we have to have boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you personally. I've just felt a lot more peaceful.
Yeah. I do 9. Well, it used to be 8, but now it's 9 because with a business, but I don't look at mine until.
So 9 can be.
I think
time.
It'd be a good thing to.
You
have
can even text me later and be like, switching.
Bye bye, airplane.
Have for the team too. I was just thinking that just so we're all on the same page, I think is a good idea because, like, even for example, this morning, because we have an episode out today. So I just kind of go on and I check that everything's whatever. Like, okay. But then I'm in the hole.
And also, can you feel like your digestion shutting off?
Of course.
By that way, another thing, I digest in business
completely. But then, meaning I'm in the hole, so I'm on my phone already, so I'm checking social.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, I digest my breakfast so much better with this whole change. And guys, this is a small change because I'm still going to check my social media after 45 minutes. Like I'm not checking.
Yeah,
totally.
But I'm just letting my body wake up to. And guys, it sets my tone for the rest of the day. if I start the day on this nourishing, grounded, peaceful tone, that my day is more peaceful. Yeah. Rest of my day is more
peaceful. Waking up and today I was like, we have so much going on today. We're I'm overscheduled. We have two interviews, calls. Oh, I have a meeting. We have a meeting with the sponsor. I have another meeting. And then I'm going to this dinner thing. And I was just like,
it's too much.
Yeah. I was rebelling this morning. So I was just fucking around all morning. And I'm
see, woman, we
late to my workout. Cause I was overscheduled. I needed to rebel in a way.
Too much. Yeah. That's why I say women need more rest and more downtime.
Yeah.
We're actually putting too much on our plate. Yes. And I think it's actually having a physical toll on 100%. Our health.
Yeah. Why do you think we're putting too much on our plate?
Good question. Is it social media? Because we're watching everyone else do everything and we feel like we need to do it.
Sometimes it's to distract myself.
I think it's woman. I think it's who we are.
I'm paper chasing. I want some fucking cash. Literally. I want cash.
I think it's honestly how we are born. I swear. Yeah, I think women
we're multitaskers.
We are just it's innate. It's in us. We just have to put, we have to do everything. We have to be good at
it.
I'm
addicted to it.
Yeah. But it's fun. I love my work and I love my busy life and I love it, but I don't want to get to the point of resenting it. Yeah. And I do sometimes when I don't have the boundaries. I'm like, this is too much. And those are the days I want to give up when I don't have the limits. You know, those days where you just want
to
give up.
We're learning boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beekeepers Naturals is our go-to for sustainably sourced bee products.
I know. I love the honey. Justin was sick last week, and so he used the propolis, which is a small spray, and it's a really natural alternative to cold cough medicine, and you just spray it in your mouth, and he was feeling so much better. So I've been incorporating their CBD honey in my everyday. When I just want to chill, I'll put it in my tea, or just when I want to just feel even through the day, I'll use their CBD honey. And then we've been loving, the things like the propolis too, to help us boost our immunity.
Yeah, propolis is actually number one. It's antiviral, antifungal, antimicrobial. I mean, you just spray it in the back of your throat.
Yeah.
It's
love natural alternatives.
Yes, it works. It completely works. I also love the Beelixir. So that's the brain fuel. They come in these little shots. Some people just call it a natural Adderall.
Yeah.
But it really does sharpen my focus. It's amazing. It cuts through my brain fog and you don't have any jitters because of it. So I really love the Beelixir. So for our listeners, we'd love for you to try Beekeepers Naturals. It's truly changed the game for us. You can use the code ALMOST30 for 15% off at beekeepersnaturals.com. So that's the code ALMOST30, 15% off at beekeepersnaturals.com. We usually crave at the end of a long day on tour, a beautiful, fulfilling long day, I need a little sweet.
And it's the perfect salty sweet. I'm a salty sweet girl. And what I love about Skinny Dipped is that although it's covered in this natural cacao dusty thin layer of chocolate, it has the almonds in there too. So it's not a hot, it's not a blood sugar spike. You don't feel like crap afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you feel satiated because of the fiber in the almonds.
Yeah, the fiber is key. Mm-hmm. The protein, it kind of has all you need. I usually have a few before a workout.
But
it's so good. So they have different flavors out now, tastes out now. So it's the cacao, espresso, raspberry, peanut butter is my favorite.
Peanut butter, always.
And now they have a Greek yogurt covered for kind of tis the season. It's like an orange cranberry, and then they have a pumpkin spice.
Delicious. So good. I love the pumpkin spice.
So if you can have dairy, those are really, really good. I just love this brand. Their story is amazing. It is a women-owned company, which we love, and we're going to be talking to them soon. So stay tuned for that. We always love a founder story. I know you guys are always looking for expanders as you start your own businesses and follow your dreams. So skinnydipped.com. You can use our code ALMOST30, ALMOST30, for 20% off your first order. I would buy in bulk.
Buy in bulk, guys. You're going to eat it all. Enjoy.
I was going to ask, just in that vein, when you got married and had someone in your life every day, and how did things change for you? In what ways did you slow down or make space and room?
Actually, you just made me so emotional because I was thinking Well, I was thinking how Dean has helped me have such a kinder relationship to my body. Because the minute you said that, I don't even think about that. Yeah, I just, you can, I'm tearing up. Yeah, he's my husband. Oh. We've been together for 8 years.
Oh, he's the one that we've
Oh, yeah, he's the CEO of
JSL. He's so cute. You guys are so hot.
Well, I was just thinking, like, when you, because
we don't need to see him.
We actually look really similar. He, perfect. He really gave me permission. Like, he helped me. He taught me how to love myself again. Oh. And I know, like, it's not a good thing to say someone else made you love yourself, but like the truth is he reminded me of what I was worth. And when you have a good self-worth, your relationship with food does heal. Your relationship with your body does heal. And so finding a partner who just supports that and just sees the best in you and just wants the best for you and thinks you are just the most amazing thing. And why you doubt, like he would just be like, why are you doubting yourself? Mm. He still says that.
I love that.
Like if I'm going, as I was saying, like going on today's show in 2 weeks, I'm like, I am freaking out a bit. And I'm just like, I wish I had more confidence in her. But he will just be like, what? Like, why don't you? Like he doesn't even, he's just so supportive. And he, but he definitely helped me love myself again.
I think there,
which it is interesting because it's like I do, you know, subscribe to the belief that only you can love yourself.
I know.
But I've learned to love myself through other people loving me.
I think, well, I think they the smooth leg.
Really?
The moisturizer. Sorry, just touching it.
You call me Mrs. Buttercream.
You are just a delicious buttercream.
I'm always wet.
I just think, I agree with you. I think they can just remind you, you to love yourself. And also, he didn't want me to be perfect. Like he didn't, like when I was, if I was, you know, because when I first met him, I was actually in the last phases or stages of having a really toxic relationship with my body. When I met him, I started studying my Bachelor of Health and Nutritional Medicine. So it all kind of happened at the same time. And I was starting to heal, but I was definitely still having negative moments. And I remember seeing like photos of myself that I don't know, just he never wanted me to be perfect, you know, and that was just so nice to meet someone. He's like, why do you, what? You look so good as you are. Like, you know, just there's no need to change. Mm-hmm. So nice to meet someone who doesn't want to change you. Yeah. I did have a relationship where I felt that I needed to look better for him.
Wow.
Mm.
So if there are any other young girls out there in relationships where you're just constantly not feeling like you living up to those standards, like I don't know if that's so healthy.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. I definitely went through that.
I mean, I've been through it, but it's just like even now it's like,
it makes me angry.
Yeah, it makes me angry. And I just think that's part of the purpose of being in partnership is for them like, to see something in you that you don't see.
Yeah.
And for them to kind of...
And just acceptance.
Yeah.
Acceptance.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't need to be... I remember that actually really worsened things for me because my past relationship, eyes were always on other girls. And I remember being obsessed with like... There was no social media at that time. I remember like stalking them on Facebook. And like, what do they have that I don't? And like, should I be brunette? Because he was always like talking to brunette. I just wanted to change to be what he was obviously wanting. And I'm so sad because obviously my self-esteem was so low at that time that I would try and change myself to be what he wanted.
That's the worst.
That's sad. And
when
I
you're just
hope
like,
no young girls are
and
feeling
you get in
that.
Like the routine of like every day kind of checking what that girl is doing.
Yeah. Like, you can become like a little stalker.
For sure. It's the worst. Totally.
I'm just so grateful that that part of my life, like I just found being, and like all the young teenage girls out there, I just found being a teen. I just want you guys to know that I found it really hard being
the hardest
a teenager.
Time,
yeah,
I feel like.
Hardest.
Really, really tough. And just know that it gets better.
It does get better. Yeah.
Being and just be kind. Better. There's like so much good coming your way.
Yeah.
So you're here in LA. JS Health is kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Like what's coming up? And what are you excited about?
I was just saying to you before, like, I just want to get my food into people's kitchens. Like I actually just met this morning. I'm going to try and get some JS Health chefs.
Cool.
And so if you want to eat my food, listen, I'm not a chef, but I'm a nutritionist and I care very much about every meal being balanced and delicious. Like as you may know with JS Health, like I'm obsessed with cooking healthy food that is abundant and delicious and like making healthy versions of people's favorite foods. There's no deprivation. There's no restriction. You never feel like you're on a diet. But I also am a nutritionist. So I make sure that all my meals are very carefully balanced and they just make you feel so good. So I think that consulting, obviously I've just launched my app and my vitamins. I think my vitamins need to be here more than anything.
Yeah, your vitamins. So too.
Damn. Oh my gosh, I forgot to bring you some. I've got some at home. I'll get them to you.
What kind of vitamins?
Well, the first one, the hair and energy, but then we have sugar cravings coming out next.
No way.
Yeah.
So it's like chromium or something?
Yeah, a few things.
Cool.
Actually, magnesium and B6, zinc. Magnesium. Mm-hmm. This is a little tip. But magnesium really conquers sugar cravings.
Every day.
Does. Really? Really, really does. But I want balance to be like the new health trend. I really want Jay's health to be an ambassador for that. Like, and help these young girls have a better relationship with food, because they're all latching onto these extremes and their relationship with food will be strained for a long time after that. Mm-hmm. And I just want them to know that they don't, like these young college girls and high school students, they don't need to go down that path.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like, yeah, it's like helping them. And then also, because I think we're the generation in between. So it's them and then their parents, because the parents don't know how to. So they're like, I have a friend, she's a mom, and she sent her daughter to a dietitian or a nutritionist, but who was weighing her and counting macros. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like, what are you doing? That's and she's so like, good. Well, she needs to have a better relationship with food. I was like, this is not the way. And I don't know what the way is, but like, I just know this is going to make her crazy.
That's an obsession.
So it's like a gap.
Yeah. I hope that I can just like nourish that gap. But I have a question for you though, because being 20, how do you guys feel like, because almost 30, whatever you are.
Whoever you are, whatever you are.
I think you said what?
31.
31. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel that you're like, your relationship with food and your body is kinder at this age? Because I definitely think it gets kinder.
Mm-hmm. My thing though is I do wonder, like with the scale, I'm like, maybe I fucking need the scale, because I'm like so I don't have any idea what's going on. Like I eat well, but like I just don't know. Like sometimes I'm like, okay, the scale's bad, but like I do think that people need to have like a baseline understanding, because sometimes people wake up and they're like 30 pounds heavier than they were before. Mm. And they're like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
So I guess, where do you find that balance? Because that's where I'm kind of like, where do I like maintain and able to like actually get a real understanding of like what's going on with my body that's like real? And it's not like me being like, I feel fat. And someone's like, no, you look great. And I'm like, okay, I look great. You know, like, I need to sometimes be like, actually really check myself and be like, this is what's really going on. And sometimes the scale is that for me. And I don't weigh myself regularly. Like, I can't remember last time I did. But that's where I'm like, I just wonder, what do you think about that?
Because like, obviously as a nutritionist, a qualified nutritionist, people came to see me to get results.
Yeah.
And so I actually struggle with that, because I don't want to be focused on weight. But what I'll tell you is, when you're your truest, healthiest self, your best weight will come.
Yeah.
And you will feel that.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of dietary and lifestyle change. As we were talking about, you might just be highly stressed at the moment. Your cortisol levels are peaking. So it doesn't even matter how many green juices and green salads and whatever you're eating, your stress levels might be knocking you out of balance.
Yeah.
And by the way, there is no perfect number for you to be. And that's why I think the scales are dangerous, because you're trying to get to a specific number, but you will know how you feel in your clothes. Mm-hmm. You know how you wake up and feel in your skin. Let that be the measurement. And are you energized, and are you feeling balanced?
Yeah.
But when you start to make those small dietary and lifestyle changes to feel your best and focus on health, and as opposed to weight, and not put pressure on yourself, your best weight will follow. And there might be some hormonal things you have to deal with, and the stress stuff and slowing down. And yes, seeing a nutritionist is great, because they will say to you, like, this is probably the best breakfast to eat for achieving weight loss or weight balance. And this is like, make sure you're having those macronutrients like protein and fiber and good fats. They're going to keep you full and satiated. Like, you just might not be eating the right breakfast for you. Or your gut might not be in the right shape. And there's so much research coming out now that our gut bacteria influences our metabolism and our ability to lose weight. So they're just different factors. And so you don't have to deal with it alone.
Yeah.
And there are so many ways and nutritionists that can just guide you to balance. But I don't think, I understand what you're saying, because we all have goals and we're allowed to want to achieve them with this balanced life. Yeah,
I see what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't want there to be obsession and fixation on numbers, whereas focus on health, energy, eating the best you can, being kind to yourself, mindful eating, slowing down, getting your cortisol levels down, sleeping more. I swear to God, like the kinder I am to myself, the better I am physically. Yeah. So I just think with you, you just need to slow down and be kinder and bring down.
That's true. That's true.
But you look great.
Oh, thanks.
I think so too. Just like as we get older, like I notice myself like appreciating the parts of myself that I used to hate the most.
By the way, and that's another thing, like being so grateful, this like beautiful toned arms and like your body is beautiful. Like I think you probably just need to be more grateful for your body right now.
I know it's so,
it's hard.
It's smoking hot.
It is, but we're, I think like
we're in front of the camera.
We're in front of the camera and it's,
that is,
you are too.
And
it's really hard.
So it's
that's
hard.
My, by the way, that's so, when you've had a disordered relationship with food or struggled, I definitely had a disordered relationship with food. Sometimes I say that people can stay with you for life and there are triggers. So I do have triggers and photos and TV are my trigger.
Yeah, man.
So I obviously, knowing it. So I know that if I have a photo shoot for whatever work thing I have, I will be triggered 1,000,000%. And I literally have to have things in place to deal with the trigger. So I know I'm going to have a bad moment. Either I need to go speak to a therapist or the next day I need to really slow it down, like yoga, meditation, no emails, no inundation on social media. Like I put a plan in place because I know my triggers. So actually identifying your triggers can really help. And also just understand that what you're seeing is probably not what everyone else is seeing. We are our harshest critics. Like we are so, especially women, we are so hard on ourselves. We're constantly trying to change, constantly trying to be perfect. Like I can feel all of us in this room I can feel the pressure that we place on ourselves to look better, do more. I really want women to relieve this pressure to do it all.
So for an example, because I need to do this. So you have a photo shoot and the next day you don't schedule anything.
I know that it's probably going to be a really hard day for me. Like even with today's show coming, I don't know. The next day, what I try and do is slow down the pace. Because I know that there's going to be anxiety in me from a trigger. And I will just try and really be kind to myself. So less on my to-do list, more sleep, less commitments, not too many meetings that day, lots of yoga. Yoga is hard sometimes when you're having a bad body image day, but it gets you out of your head. So getting out of your head in those days where you're having a bad body image moment is really, really good. So going out and listening to music, going to chat to a friend, doing yoga, going for a walk or a hike, just doing something to really just calm down your thoughts. Like sometimes I just go into a forward fold, into a yoga forward fold and less on the to-do list. Like slowing it down the next day really helps me in a bad body image day. Yeah. And just know that again, like the next day will be better. You're having like a kind of accepting a bad body image day is quite healthy because you're not going to feel good about yourself every day. Just know that.
Love that.
That's a good one.
I've had them recently, like when you're traveling and you're moving, like you just have bad days and then you just know that tomorrow I'll probably feel better myself. And you put things into place that help you do that. So for me, definitely practicing yoga, eating home cooked meals does just make me feel better. Less phone time, less screen time.
Yeah.
And then everything calms down.
It's like finding a good outfit.
Yeah.
Like wearing clothes that look good on
make
me.
Make you feel good.
Make me feel good. Instead of just throwing shit on.
Completely.
Like I always do, it's like actually and choosing
also like
what
there's
I'm
so
wearing.
Many, yeah. And like there's so many cute ways of like nourishing yourself. Like sometimes a day at home, like your own spa little day, like either going for a massage or just at home, like putting on a face mask. I like for me, having a bath with lavender oil is like so calming to me. Deleting my apps on my phone is very calming. I take magnesium. I like spend time with my husband, lots of time with my family. Like those are the sorts of things that really calm me down. And because I think being on social media is only going to exacerbate the anxiety because you're comparing.
Yeah. I don't even like look at my feed. Like
good for you.
Mad.
Do you know how
she's good at that?
No, you're really good
at
that.
I'm just an asshole.
No, but that's, I'm like, well, I envy that. Yeah. Like people would.
I just look at my DMs a lot. I'm addicted to my DMs.
Yeah. They're fun.
You know?
That's great.
Dick pics. Just real fast. And you don't feel need, but I would feel remiss if we didn't ask. Like, so what's a normal day of your food?
Yeah. So this morning. So I wake up to that beautiful, nourishing morning routine. I always have a double espresso with like a drop of milk. I'm not fussy with what milk I have. I love like full cream.
Are you worried it spiked your cortisol?
So caffeine. in excess. So I have this whole Jay's Health thing. Everyone knows it's like the Jay's Health thing. One coffee a day before 10 a.m. That can be a double. But because your cortisol levels are quite high in the morning, the highest in the morning, and then around 2 p.m. they start to go down. So I don't like people having coffee from after 11, 12, 1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 10 is really preferable. So one coffee a day really does help to balance your cortisol levels. As the people who are having 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee a day, you'll find they have that irregular cortisol thing going on. The sugar cravings, the energy crashes, the inability to sleep deeply. So just trying, I love coffee. Don't ever take it away from me, but just moderate. Some days I have 2 and I notice how much more tired. And you see, coffee, caffeine is a very immediate adrenaline thing, and then you crash. You really do. And it can strain your adrenal glands in excess, which is where your cortisol is pumped from. So double espresso in the morning. And then I've been making this Almond Dream Power Protein. It's like the Jay's Health Power Protein smoothie, but like it's Almond Butter Dream. I do like almond butter, ice, protein powder, cinnamon, chia seeds. So we must get our fiber in. So I do a tablespoon of chia seeds or a tablespoon of ground flaxseed. We need the fiber to feed the good bugs in our gut, which is such a big thing these days. And the protein to keep my blood sugar stable. And then I do almond milk or cashew milk and a half a frozen banana. And I blitz it all and it's like creamy and delicious. And I do whey protein, you can do any protein. Then I probably have a handful of raw almonds at about 11. And then lunch, I have a huge dark leafy green salad with a protein and probably some sweet potato. And I've been having fiber crackers at breakfast, at lunch. The two like fiber crackers. I do a gluten-free one from Trader Joe's.
Cool.
Because I'm gluten-free not because it's trendy. I am 100% more tired when I eat gluten. So I'm not fussy. By the way, I go out for breakfast. On a Saturday, I'm definitely going to have my sourdough rye toast. Like, I'm so flexible and kind. I don't put this umbrella. I'm gluten-free. I'm no, but I tend to avoid gluten because it just makes me tired. It's as simple as that. And then I have this Jay's Health 4 to 5 p.m. snack, which is changed people's lives and helped them to reduce overeating at dinner and binge eating in the afternoon. Because binge eating happens a lot at 5 or 6 p.m. for a lot of people. When they come home from work, it's been an emotional day. They're tired, they're stressed, they go straight into the fridge. Guilt starts to come in. They feel guilty about what they just ate. Then they overeat, they binge, and it becomes this whole terrible night.
Totally.
But it's a lot of people are skipping that afternoon snack. And it actually really, really helps to conquer sugar cravings and get your hunger in check. Like you're going to be able to be much more moderate with how much dinner you're eating when you have this 4 to 5 p.m. snack, but it has to be a protein-rich one. So I have either Greek yogurt with cinnamon or boiled egg or carrot sticks with hummus or a protein bar or even another smoothie. I have to have something at 4 to 5 p.m. and then I have a small dinner at 7 or 8, which is, again, protein and lots of veggies. But I make it really fun and abundant. And that's what Jay's Health is all about. Like if I feel craving cottage pie, I'll make a sweet potato cottage pie or whatever I'm craving. Like if I'm craving pizza, I'll just make a cauliflower pizza. So I really tune into what I'm craving and then I make a really delicious, abundant dinner. Sometimes I have a Jay's Health treat afterwards, but I'm not like a sweet tooth. But also because of how I eat, because I'm making sure that every meal is so supportive of my blood sugar levels, I very rarely crave sugar. And I do crave sugar when I'm not eating those macronutrients at every single meal.
Totally.
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
What do you guys eat for breakfast?
Pizza. Just kidding. I usually have like Fab4 smoothie.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Kelly.
Amazing. Yeah. Usually have that. Okay. Like full avocado.
Yeah. If I'm teaching in the morning, before class, I'll do an avocado with like just seasoning and do like a coffee and then I'll eat after.
Okay.
I'll usually eat like more of a lunch savory, like a salad.
Yeah.
I don't like to eat a ton before I work out.
Okay. That's good. So I just want to say that because protein at breakfast can really change people's lives. It's one thing because a lot of people are having like fruit or like yogurt. Like, I mean, yogurt's fine actually because it contains some protein or like a piece of toast with jam or cereal or granola. Like there is no protein in that to keep your blood sugars really nice and stable. So I think it's really important just to try and add a protein and potentially some fiber to your breakfast.
Yeah, having the fat and the protein.
Oh, yeah. And the fat. I mean, because fat is like, so satiating.
No.
If I don't put the almond butter or chia seeds or flaxseed into my smoothie, I'm hungry 2 hours later.
Totally.
It really kicks.
Totally. Okay. So where can our ladies find you and then tell them about the supplements and like everything that they can...
Well, honestly, just at Jay's Health is my Instagram. So that's where I just post all my healthy meals and food ideas and body love tips. And then, just launch the Jay's Health vitamins, but they're only on Amazon from next month. And the Jay's Health app is from the App Store. And that's really my philosophy. But also the thing about the app is that it's a nutritionist in your pocket. So you can text one of my Jay's Health nutritionists from wherever you are in the world.
Cool.
Wow.
Damn.
But really, I just want to like meet your readers and do an event.
Just wait.
And
yeah, we will.
They're coming for
like,
you.
Let's do like a nutrition Q&A.
We'd love that.
They
love
cooking dinner. In LA.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with you girls more. Okay. Best energy.
Yes.
We feel the same.
I was like trying to calm down this whole time. I was like thinking about like,
Jess is here.
Well, yeah, that too. And just like that I am kind of on one today. So I'm like trying to calm my nervous system down.
You're doing enough. Like, honestly, let's start. Let's just like take a moment to recognize all that you've done and achieved. And this podcast is killing
it. You know, as an entrepreneur, it's hard not to be on one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the
time. Really do know. But I sometimes lately, and maybe it's an almost at 30 thing, I have been taking more time out to be like, wow, like you've done enough.
Yes.
I'm definitely like my early 20s and mid-20s was like, you need to do more. But like now I'm more like reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is more moments of reflection. Wow, I did this. It's enough.
Love that.
Not sure I want to do more.
Mm.
Like not wanting to do more is like such a good feeling. Like, yeah. I don't think I want to do more.
You're good though. You've got a nap, like you got supplements. Like,
well, I think it'll just evolve in a really beautiful way.
The personality in me is A type. Like, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. Like, that is like who I am. But I am just thinking it's an almost 30 thing. I'm just being. Like,
it's
maybe
definitely
it's enough.
A shift.
It's a shift. You're like, it's much
way
kinder.
Chiller.
Yeah. Yeah, and not everything goes very well and nicely all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go delete Instagram.
I know. So,
delete Instagram. Honestly, I'm doing that.
Yeah,
do it at 7 great. Or 8 p.m. and you'll sleep cool. like
I
a dream.
I don't need it today.
Yeah, but just limits you. Boundaries.
All right. Well,
thank you guys
for being here.
You're the best. That was so much fun.
Thanks
you, girls.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Love you guys. My girl.
What a babe.
The best.
I'm so glad she's in LA.
Me too.
Need some of that fresh perspective too.
Me too. She's my homie. We were laughing the other day, like just leaving this event. Like we were very similar and I just love her. So glad we could share it with you guys.
Yes. Love her dearly.
Yes.
So what you need to know right now from Almost 30 podcast.
Vancouver.
Vancouver's.
If you or someone you know is in Vancouver.
What do they call it? Van or Coovy?
is in Van City. Please come to our events. We are hosting this December on the 4th. We are doing an amazing workout workshop with Shara, one of our good friends. She is a holistic nutritionist and coach, and she's awesome. So she's going to be playing a big part in that. And then on Thursday, we're doing a workshop with On Our Moon, Alex. And we're also going to be doing it with Bree Melanson. It's going to be breath work. It's going to be good discussion, good conversation, and it's going to be amazing. So tickets for those two events are available at almost30podcast.com/tour.
Yes. And we also have our yourpodcastpro.com site live. So you can visit that website. It's your hub. So you can go there if you have an idea for a podcast, if you want to start a podcast, if you've started a podcast and just need, you know, tools, tips, tricks, up-leveling, support. We are there. And we are starting our six-week program in January, January 6th. For 6 weeks, it's going to be pretty rad. We will get you from idea to iTunes in no time, babies.
Mm-hmm. So excited to support you along your journey and provide you everything you need to build a brand and business that you love.
Review of the week. Here we go.
Review of the week.
5 stars. You are my best friend. Oh, man. Aww.
Which this one?
I know. Who's your favorite?
Yeah. Damn it.
Dear Almost 30, I'm 27 and transition is an understatement. I found you at the right time. I've been going through more than a life change. Your podcast is my church. I'm serious. You saved my life and you continue to bring me back to serenity and know I can handle this change. I listen and the topics resonate 100%. Your positivity flows through me. You teach me and I respect everything you bomb ass babes are producing for the world. I am so proud of you ladies and thank you for being role models. Seriously, freaking real talk. Great guests, sharing and daring to push it to the next level each and every day. Kudos. Everyone has bad days. Everyone has good days. I had given up, but you two literally saved my life and continue to make me smile every day. Keep inspiring girls and women who are lost because we need leaders like you. Thank you so much for committing to this podcast that really has my back, even when I feel like I just can't. I mean, Jane from the US. I mean, thank you so much. That.
Well, I'm crying.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. We're here for you. You're a friend. Ugh, more than a friend.
So
you're a fam.
Sweet. Love you so much. Thank you.
We love you.
We love you guys. Thanks so much for being a part of Almost 30 Nation. Thanks so much for being a part of the secret Facebook group and supporting one another in online and at our events. I was trying to think of a good segue. We love you and we are so grateful for you.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.